Fantastic. Well, last Sunday, if you were here, you would have heard that I would be sharing on a theme for this year and the idea around discipleship. As I'd been away praying and seeking the Lord and just even in chatting with our leadership, just discipleship. Discipleship as being the key for this year as we walk out what the Lord has for us, going deeper in the Lord, developing roots that go deep down. And we just believe that discipleship is something that we, you know, are always want to be focused on. But this year in particular, right now, for these months ahead, we really want to focus in deep on developing deeper roots in God. And so, you know, for those of us as we've grown in Christ, we have learned different things, and we've heard different things, and we understand different things, and we just want to fill in all of that so it's our foundation is solid. And so we have a verse, and that's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And I'm going to read that from the Message. That's our theme verse for this year, and soon you'll see it. We'll have it on the wall, or it'll be posted somewhere that you'll be able to see that. This is what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2a. It says, "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out." And if you remember, I explained as we focus on the key words in that verse as it relates to discipleship, it's about fixing your attention. It's about fixing your attention on God and that you'll be changed, again, from the inside out. Through the process of discipleship, we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds. This is what discipleship does. Becoming committed followers of Jesus, allowing God's word to renew our minds. You see, we want to be the people who fix our attention on God and are discipled so that we will know how to best interact with the culture around us on a daily basis. That's so crucial. That's so important. We don't want to become so well-adjusted that we just fit in without even thinking. And that's a danger. That can happen. We just get so used to the culture around us, we just fit right in. It's not a big thing. But we want God to transform our minds so that we would be able to be in and be effective in bringing the gospel and bringing life change. And so last week we began a 3-sermon series on what I believe are 3 key essentials to living a Jesus lifestyle. And that's to be able to live like Jesus wants us to live. We need these kind of 3 essentials. And number 1 was regular prayer, having regular prayer time. We talked about that last week. Today I'm going to be talking about Scripture and the importance of reading and understanding and applying Scripture into our lives. And then finally, next week I'll be talking about sharing the gospel and the importance of that and how essential that is as well. Last week I talked about what the Bible has to say about prayer and how we can pray it, and we even took some time together to actually pray for each other in small groups at the end of our service. And that was great to see. Today we're going to look at Scripture this morning. We're going to look at Scripture, the importance of reading Scripture, and the fact that we're to actually take in God's Word daily and regularly, like a meal that actually sustains our spirit and makes us spiritually healthy. You see, this actually leads to life. It leads to life. You know, having God's Word in our minds and our hearts, it's crucial to actually knowing how and why we follow Jesus, you know? How many of you this morning have a favorite verse? How many of you have a favorite verse this morning? Like a few people? Yeah, a few of you have a favorite Bible verse you can think of. You know, it's a verse that's yours. It's one that you find yourself going back to again and again. Is there anybody here that would want to share your favorite verse? You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Someone else? Yes. Close with yes, dignity, yep. And that's in Proverbs. Very good. Someone else, one other person. Yes. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Yeah, amen, amen. That's good. You know, I have a favorite verse as well. Surprise, surprise. You know, it's the verse that actually stopped me cold and made me sit up and pay attention all those years ago. And for me, it's found in Mark chapter 11. And it's when Jesus is clearing out the temple courts. He's clearing out the money changers and the merchants who were there that were more interested in making money than what God wanted here, there in that space. And Jesus says this in verse 17 of Mark chapter 11. The scriptures declare, "My temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." You know, for me, that verse changed my life. You see, I had thought that Jesus, again, had only come to earth for a very specific people. Not all people. Not all nations. I realized at that moment that Jesus actually came and died for me. And so that scripture, that living word of God came alive in me. It came alive in me right there and right then. Jesus was speaking into the core of my being and telling me that he died for all humankind, past, present, and future. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I want you to know that he died for you today, right now, in this place, that he has salvation for you, he has freedom for you, and that's a free gift of God today that you can receive. You see, these words of the Bible that are found in Mark chapter 11, a house of prayer for all nations, like I said, it jumped out. It changed everything for me that day. And God's Word, the Bible, can actually speak to you as clearly as it spoke to me. God speaks through His Word, and He actually wants to speak with you. He actually wants to speak with you. Today, I want to talk about the power of Scripture in our lives. Can we take a moment and pray? Father, we just thank you this morning that your word is alive. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you that there is so much found in your word. God, that your word helps us, Lord, to know what is right. God, your word helps us to understand what you have for us, the good things that you have for us. Lord, your word helps us to understand your character. Your word, Lord, helps us to understand how we are to live our lives in you. And so I just pray this morning as I would share these few words, Lord, that you've laid around Scripture and the importance of Scripture, God, that we would just take that in and that it would take good root in our lives. We just thank you, God. I pray that there would be a renewed passion for your word today in this place. God, that we wouldn't forsake your word. We wouldn't say, well, you know, whenever we can fit your word in, we'll do that. But Lord, we would be intentional. God, that we would schedule the times to spend with you in your word and in prayer. We just thank you, God, that you're here. We thank you that we have your word to look at and to understand and to take in. And Lord, you'll fill us. You'll fill us, Lord, with all kinds of good things because of that. Amen. Amen. Wayne Cordero, he's actually a well-known pastor and author. He writes this: "There's a new religion happening. I call it New Age Christianity. People want to follow Jesus while rejecting the Bible. You can't do that. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. You can't separate Jesus from the Word." You know, Wayne is talking about those people who think that having a relationship with Jesus is all about, it's all just about love and warm, fuzzy feelings all the time. They don't particularly like that what the Bible has to say about God being a God of justice, a God of standards, a God of righteousness, who shares his glory with no one, among many other attributes. They have a hard time with that. You see, these people are deceived into a very shallow view of God. They don't have the full understanding of who God is. Because John chapter 1, verse 1 says this: "The Bible and Jesus have always been together. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." It was together. It was together. John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40 says this: "You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." You see, this radically changes a life. Scripture radically changes a life. Reading the Bible is more than an intellectual exercise. It's more than just this intellectual exercise of learning information and trying to figure out what it all means. You see, you study the Scripture diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. You know, there's a difference, isn't there? There's a difference between studying a historical figure or actually having known that person. You know, when you think about it, when you think about, you know, the books that you've read, and maybe you enjoy history, you like looking back, and, you know, you're reading about someone you never knew. It's very interesting, it's very fascinating, and you learn all kinds of facts, you learn all kinds of information. But when you know someone and you're reading something or you're studying something about somebody you already knew personally, it takes it to a whole different level. It takes it so much deeper. And it's just not the same. You don't have a personal connection the way you do with someone that you knew. And many times we study the Bible, like I said, for information only. We forget the most important step, to make it apply to our lives. We can have the knowledge of God's Word in our mind, but the connect must be made to our heart. That is so, so crucial. I've met people over the years that had so much Bible knowledge, but they just fell in the day-to-day living because they didn't apply any of that knowledge to their life. They didn't apply any of that knowledge to their heart. And so there was this break, there was a wall between the knowledge of the Lord, the knowledge of God, and it actually taking root in their life and them walking in that. And that's never supposed to be that way. It was never supposed to be that way. Over and over we read in God's Word that He looks at the heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 reminds us of one of these occasions. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, if we fail to make the heart connection with God's Word, then it's merely information. It's still useful. You know, it's still useful information because we have to make decisions on various things. We can use that information on what's right and what's wrong. But the heart is where the emotion and where the actions come from. That's why the Lord looks at your heart. You see, the heart and the mind are both transformed. They're both transformed by the power of Scripture in our lives. It's not one or the other. It's both. I want you to watch this short video clip from speaker and author Jefferson Bethke as he is asked the question of, why don't we spend time in the Bible? Go ahead.
I think there's a myriad of issues of why we don't spend time in the Word. I think I have a few particular, and I would probably say they're similar to a lot of other people. One of them, I think, is pride. Like, you're not going to read something or talk to someone you don't think you need. So that's a big one, right? It's like, I'm God, I'm King, I don't need God, or I don't need, you know, we make those assumptions. And then the second one is, I think we don't understand the nature and character of God and how He loves us and how His kindness draws us to repentance. So the example I use is, my wife comes with me every trip I do now, but when I was engaged, she wouldn't come with me, but she would always write, like, letters to me, like, for the trips, or sometimes she would even, like, if I'm gone for a week, she would write a letter for every single day and say, like, open them on these days, you know? And I loved them, and I absolutely loved them, but what I would do is she'd give them to me, I'd get in the car, and I'd open them all and read them before I even got there just because, like, they were so awesome, you know, and I was excited about them. And so there was an aspect of the fact that I wanted to open it, wanted to read it, and wanted to, like, because I liked her so much, you know? And so that's the kind of the thing is, if I thought she didn't like me or I thought she was kind of like this slave master, then I probably wouldn't be excited about the letters. But the fact that I loved her, she loved me, there was this nature of our relationship where I was excited to pursue what she had wrote to me. And so I think that's the same, is when you see God as a loving Savior and what He's done for us, then you start to actually get excited about what He's said to us.
See, the Bible actually points your heart towards the person of Jesus Christ. It points your heart towards the person of Jesus Christ. You see, this is what the Word says, and we read this a moment ago. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to have life. Jesus wants to know us. He desires for us to know Him. We get to know who He is and why He came and where He is now through Scripture, through the Word of God. I ask the question, do you get excited about knowing God in a deeper way? Do you get excited about that? Is your relationship God one that is full of life, or are you merely putting up with going through the motions so that you can get the heavenly reward to have eternity with God, to know that you're going to be with Him? You know, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, Jesus Himself said these words, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On Judgment Day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. We need to know God's word. We need to know what God wants for us and what he has for his people. The Bible helps us to know that. The Bible helps us to know the will of God, what it is for us as his people. That's the power of Scripture, to know what God's heart is for us. Jesus Christ provides all that you need for daily living. Scripture shows us in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, he shows you the where. Through the word, we're told the way forward. We're told the way forward. He tells us the what. Through the word, we're told that we can have truth and life. And we know that that's life eternal. He gives you the power. Through the word, we're told that we know the Father through the Son, Jesus. See, we need to sometimes just take that next step. We need to just decide to start. You know, when it comes to reading Scripture, we need to just decide it's time to start. It's time to begin. Today is a day I want to make this consistent in my life. And number two, we need to determine the method. We need to determine whether we're going to journal. Are we going to have a reading plan? Is there a devotional book that I'm going to use on a daily basis? Is there a study guide that I'm going to use? We need to kind of determine a method for how we're going to learn Scripture, how we're going to study Scripture and take Scripture in. And thirdly, I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't fall down where you dropped off, but pick up where you left off. You know, sometimes this happens often where, you know, we do really well for a while and then we kind of mess up and then we haven't read the word for a while and it's just like, you know, I have such a hard time with this. And we just kind of, well, I'll get back to that when I can. And I want to encourage you, you know, don't fall down where you drop off, but pick up where you left off. Keep going. Keep going because God's word is good. God's word, it just fills us and it nourishes us. And here's some other ideas that I was thinking about. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17 says this, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, God has communicated with us through the Bible. It's inspired by God. It is his word to us. God inspired the Bible with purpose in mind, to enable its readers to become mature and equipped to do God's work in this world. You see, we can't just do it on our own. We'll just kind of fumble around in the dark doing the best that we can without God's word, without having a foundation in Jesus, a foundation in the word of God. We can't truly do what he's called us to do because God's word transforms us, like I've said. Watch this short clip with Annie Downs as she's asked the question, what is the value in reading the Bible?
I've heard multiple times, what if the Bible isn't true? And what if what you're saying isn't true because the Bible isn't real? And you know, there are all the facts we can tell them, right? We can tell them all the historical finds of the Bible and how many more there are than any other historical book. But the truth is that when you sit down and read the Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to show you and ask God to reveal to you what's real in the word and how real it is, he does. And so that's what I say to them. I'll say, okay, you don't believe it? That's fine. Go home and read it and then let me know. Because you can say you don't believe this book because you think it's full of rules and you think it's full of things that are going to ruin your fun or you think it's full of things that are going to break your heart. Really, go home and read it and watch it rescue you and watch it save you and watch it bring you life and you won't have that question again.
You see, God's word brings life, and it works powerfully in these following ways. We hear that God's word, it instructs right belief. You know, we can go off on tangents, but when we know God's word, when we're in God's word, and you know what, God's word, even just being in God's word, we need to be able to interpret that, study it. God's word has to interpret itself. You know, you can't just take a scripture verse and just take it on its own without understanding the connection and the interrelation that there is with other scripture that's found in the Word. And so that's the connection there when you study. But it instructs us in right belief. It reproves wrong behavior. Reprove means to take you to task. You know, there's been many times where I've looked in the scripture over the years and it just brought to life something in my life where I thought, I need to get that right. It called me. It took me to task. And, you know, there's times where we don't like that. We don't like being taken to task. You know, we don't like being called out on something, but it's so important for us so that we can be on the right track. And when God's word does that, you know it's good. You know it's right. You know it's right. It corrects wrong belief. I've already kind of touched on that, but it corrects wrong belief. It corrects when we might be going off here or there. When we look at God's word, it helps us to come back on track. And it trains in right behavior. You know, as we grow in Christ, as we grow in our maturity, it trains us in right behavior. You don't generally just kind of at the snap of a finger have you know, you're making right decisions all the time, every time, and it's just easy. But it trains us. God's word trains us over time to make more and more right decisions and follow in what he has for us. You see, the Bible is essential to spiritual formation. It shows us how to live and live out the kingdom of God here and now. It's been given to us to help transform us into the kind of people from where goodness flows like an unceasing stream of water. Like an unceasing stream of water. It's essential to our transformation. We need the word. If the Bible were to completely fulfill its mission, our minds would be so transformed, so filled with thoughts and feelings of truth, love, joy, and humility, that our lives would become one uninterrupted series of acts of grace and moral beauty. So we need to develop the practice of meditating on the scriptures. And again, this is a word that's gotten a bad rap, meditating. Oh, well, now you're getting, it's this new agey or something. No, it's not. You can meditate on God's word. You can sit and allow God's word just to penetrate into your heart and into your mind. So there are some very practical principles around how do we do that? How do we meditate on God's word? Well, number one is to choose a modern version of the Bible. Choose a version that you can understand. Choose a version that makes sense to you. If reading the old King James doesn't make sense to you to read it and you have a really hard time just understanding what on earth does this verse even say in the English, it's time to change to a new version. You know, so there's the NIV, there's that's the New International Version, there's the English Standard Version, the ESV, there's the New Living Translation, which what I use on a regular basis, and usually the scriptures that I will share with you on the screen, those are from the New Living Translation. And then there's the Message, which is not a translation, it's a paraphrase by Eugene Peterson, and so it's nice to have it sometimes on the beside your translation, like the NIV or the ESV or the New Living, to have a comparison of how it's viewed by Eugene there in terms of the Message version. Many of you have seen that. And then the beauty of the digital age is online resources. You know, you can go online to BibleGateway.com, you can go to YouVersion.com, and there's all kinds of Bible tools that are available to us. They're right at our fingertips. They're on our phones. You can download the apps. You can have them on your smartphone. You can have them on your computer. They will email you the verses to read. I mean, it doesn't get much easier than that. You know, I mean, you don't have to do anything. It just shows up in your inbox, and you can read that. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. How many of you are familiar with Pastor Jim Cimbala? You've heard the name. Some of you, a few of you have. He's a pastor out of New York and been a pastor for many, many years. And again, just watch this short one-minute clip on what he says about reading the Bible in today's digital age.
I have seen a shift in Bible reading throughout the country as I travel. There are statistics which show that people are doing less Bible reading, which is very unfortunate. But my own personal experience with believers in New York City is that people are reading the Bible more and more, especially as they get serious about their relationship with Jesus Christ. And all these wonderful helps that we have in the digital age are just a boon to really learning the Bible, knowing the books of the Bible, knowing the message of the Bible. And this is the daily bread that God promised that we could be eating and be gaining strength from. Even as he fed the Israelites in the wilderness with manna every morning, God has promised that as we read his word in these wonderful new formats that we have, he's going to give us the strength that we need for each day.
So we have all these different opportunities, different ways to take in God's word, and it's so, so crucial to us. So again, looking at those practical principles, when you read God's word, do you ask God to come and meet with you in scripture? Or do you do one of the classic things where you kind of go, you know, That's one way of doing it. Probably not a super intentional way of doing it, but there are more organized ways of reading the Bible. We need to actually ask God to meet us in Scripture, Before reading the Word of God, ask God to speak to you and anticipate that He will. Anticipate that He will speak to you. As you read, certain ideas might just come out. You may be moved by God's love. You might feel convicted about some sin or be prompted to take some course of action. You see, when you come expecting God to speak, you have a better chance of actually hearing Him. If you're coming with 5 minutes and you got to quickly read that verse quick so that you can say, check, I've done that, I'm done, and now I'm off to my next appointment, it's probably not going to happen. So you need to have that time. You need to ask God to come and meet with you in Scripture. Let God speak to you. I mean, that's phenomenal. If you just take a moment to think about that, God can speak to you. You got to let that sink in for a moment. It's not a tape recording. It's alive. God is alive. And He'll speak to you. The next thing is read the Bible with an open heart. How many times do we come to the Bible and we've got it already figured out what we think about something, and we're not really open to allowing God to speak into something new? Read and listen to what the Bible teaches with a readiness to surrender everything. Read understanding that reading for transformation is different from reading to find information or to make a point. Reading for transformation is different than reading to find information or to make a point. Next, meditate on a manageable passage. Meditate on a manageable passage. Well, what do I mean by that? When it comes to reading Scripture, the key question is not how much, but how. Take a bite-sized portion, read it, and then soak in it. Sit in that. Meditate in that. We want the Scriptures to get through to us and transform us. I mean, otherwise, what's the purpose? What's the point if it's just information? We want the Scripture to actually come and just transform you. There's three key questions that you can ask yourself when you're in that place. Number one, what is the text saying? What is the text saying? What is the text that you're reading? What is it actually saying? Number two, you can ask, what did it mean to the original audience? Because the Bible is written to an original audience. You know, when it talks about different things, you realize, hey, we don't do those things today. So it was written to an original audience. You can discover what did it mean to an original. And the third question you can ask is, what does it mean to my life? And that's the application part. That's the taking it from your mind to your heart and applying it into your life. You see, knowledge of Scripture doesn't lead to transformation unless we allow it to change our mind. Mind refers to a whole range of perceiving, understanding, valuing, and feeling that in turn determine the way to live. Change comes when we arrange our lives around those practices, when we arrange our lives around the relationships and experiences through which God produces transformation. Next thing is to take one thought or verse with you through the day. Take one thought or verse with you through the whole day. You know, meditation is built around the simple principle: what the mind repeats, it retains. So if there's a promise in God's Word that you read, take that promise with you for the whole day and let it rest on you. Like, just repeat that and take that in. Really apply that to your day. Next thing is allow the thought to become part of your memory. It's something we've kind of lost, is memorization, Scripture memorization. The importance of that. Allow the thought to become part of your memory. That what matters is not how many words we memorize, but what happens to our minds as we immerse them in Scripture. You see, Roger Stronstad is a teacher up at Summit Pacific College there, and he said this: get into the Word, and the Word will get into you. I mean, it's very simple. Get into the Word, and the Word will get into you. I want to invite Gail to just come now, and I've asked Gail if she would just help me with the sermon this morning to give an illustration of how does she interact with God and God's Word, and how she could just maybe just share that with us.
So As most of you know, you see me at the back, and I usually have three books going. And one is for the sermon notes, one is for what God tells me. And the third book is for those things that pop into your mind that I think were meant to be distractions, so if I just write them down, they're out of my mind, and I can concentrate back on what God wants to talk to me about today. You know, and I realized as a child, I was taught to hide the Word of God in my heart. Now, if you're not King James, that means you're to memorize. And as an adult, I came to know, and I thought, oh, he had to show Symbola, didn't he? Because as an adult, I realized that God had given this to me, and it was manna. And it was manna for the day, but I had to choose to reap it. I had to choose to glean it. I had to choose to eat it and be fed by it. But unless I got into the scripture, I wasn't going to get that. Now, for me, it's poetry and scripture. And I know I'm blessed to be alive and here at this time, because now the visual and the written arts are seen as acceptable forms of worship. They weren't so much when I was growing up. But now, how God is moving and showing that there are those people who are gifted in that way, they might not be gifted with a voice to sing or the ability to preach, but God's given them this way to worship. And from a young age, I remember writing and singing, and I can go back to even 5 years old and find the writings that I did. It didn't mean much back then, but now it's starting to have I'm having a greater understanding. And some of the ways is scripture. A scripture will hit me, and it'll start with, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you?" Now that might seem like a simple verse. I'm going to put that over there now because it's not going to fit here when I open up my book. But when I read, the poetry that comes to me is I look all around me and the wonders that I see, the mountains clothed with such majestic majesty. I look at how they are arrayed they are, the light ever changing the color of their cloaks. From season to season, they're always right in style. Then I looked a little closer round my home again and beheld the beauty of a single blade of grass, polka-dotted with a buttercup corsage. I seem to be concerned these days with all but what's within, that hiding place I reserve for God, to sit and while away the moments just basking in his grace, brings an incomparable peace to my soul. Of course, then as he was talking, I ended up changing a lot of the things, or the order I was going to say them in or share them in, and some just didn't seem right anymore. So I went through the book, and I think sometimes what God will speak to me is his character. As you read scripture, you see who he is and what he means and what he's supposed to mean. See, he sees more than just a man. He sees all he can become. He sees more than here and now. He sees the eternity before the eternity yet to come. He sees the very heart of man, the essence and composure. He sees all that is done in view and all that's deeply hidden. He is omnipresent, omnipotent, and all-knowing. He is defender, creator. He was the first breath of life and witness to life's last. He is what holds the universe together. And the beauty of it is the last line, and I am the apple of his eye. I think sometimes we forget that as a magnificent and incredible God that we are actually his prize, that he longs to be with us and spend time with us. So when facing those metaphorical giants, or not, head on, straightforward, not behind. For I have slain the bear, the lion, while alone on my knees before God. Faithful when no one saw, but you, O Lord. Sure when in whom I stand, knowing that Goliath is no more than just a man. For the giants have been put in their place, and not, no longer hold sway over my life. And this one I found when he was just at the end, when he was, Pastor Jazz was finishing his sermon. It says, "Grow, grow, my soul. Ever reach for God. For though you may be small on earth, your power in God will show. For those things that limit you, while on earth you may be, one day will have to let you go so you can be fully free. Consider those limitations as guidelines to keep your course ever steady. Remember, you have God on your side, so who can stand against you? For with Christ's death and resurrection, the transfer was complete. Now there is no hindrance between you and God, so stand up on your feet. Each soul has a longing, and until complete, will always have that feeling of goals yet to meet. Let Holy Spirit lead you. He was a teacher left to guide you on your walk on earth. Grow soul rich in love and all God's gifts, for they were meant for you." So don't forget what he's given to you, that everything in the Bible is meant for you. And I think the one thing that lastly is that God loves to be reminded of his promises. Mm. He loves it when you read his word and say, you know, Lord, you promised this, so I'm claiming that. God, and he loves it because he knows when you're spending that time in the word, you've remembered it and you're reciting it back to him.
Thank you. Gail, if I was to ask you, yeah, how many books of poetry do you have over the years of engaging with the scripture this way?
I just started putting them together, and I would say of this size, I've got about seven or eight
books of that.
Yeah. Different things, and sometimes it's not God, it's about nature. And I mean, we talked about this. We had an exercise at our life group a couple of weeks ago, and it was about the word. What word is God giving you? And I'd ask the ladies just for one word, but what they gave was not only a word, but then they gave the backing up of scripture. You see, that's the beauty of it too, is God is, he's going to tell you something, if he's going to lead you somewhere, if he's going to give you that sense, he never does it without backing it up with scripture. Mm-hmm. So, and in a way too, that's how you know where it's from too, because it's always going to be back. You can always find it in the scripture. He's never going to give you something different that is totally contrary to his word, because it's always going to be found there. And that's, to me, that's how I know.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you know, it's all about interacting with the scripture, making the scripture real, making it alive in your life. And you know, it's more than just words on a page. This is not just a novel for you to read and at the end go, wow, that was a great book. This is an ongoing story. It's a love story. It's the story of God. And God's word interacts with each and every single one of us in different ways, depending on how he's made us. And so you've heard a little bit about how God's word how Gail interacts with God's word and writing poetry. You know, sometimes you see, in churches, and I don't know if they've ever done this here, but someone will paint a painting during worship. You know, it's interacting with God's word. Thank you, Gail. As we just close this time, I want to just invite you, I want to encourage you. We actually, thank you to Sharon for emailing me this. She had a one-year Bible reading plan that she thought, hey, that might be, you know, as she knew we were talking about coming up this week. And so we printed off some copies of that, and they're available on the back table as you go. And, you know, if you haven't gone through the Bible, you know, in an order, I want to encourage you, take one of those sheets. It's just one page. I think it's double-sided, and you can actually read through the whole Bible in 1 year. Again, if you're online, I want to encourage you, go online and engage with some of those tools. Go on, and there's reading plans available where you can go through the Bible chronologically. Well, what does that mean? Well, it's an order of event, and it's not going to look quite the same as your Bible does today. It's going to be going, jumping back and forth and chronologically, and so there's all kinds of things. They're all free tools. They're available to you. But the point of this morning is that Scripture has to be something that's a key part of who we are. You can't take Jesus and God's Word and separate them. It's one. And I want to encourage you this morning, as we look to discipleship, as we look to strengthen the foundation of our own lives, that we look to Scripture, we look to God's Word, as well as prayer, but we look to God's Word to strengthen us, to fill us in, to allow us to have a strong, solid foundation as we move forward. Because God is pouring out his Spirit in the last days. And there are people that are coming to him and turning to him, and they need to know more about who he is. And they're going to end up walking through these doors. Some of those people are going to walk through these doors. And we want to be people who are full of faith, but have strong foundations in the Lord, so that when we engage and walk with those people, we're able to do that in the right way, knowing that our foundation is in God's word. So can we just pray together? Father, I just thank you this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you are in your word. Lord, you speak through your word. Your word comes alive. I think of my friend, Lord, who prior to being a Christian, read through the Bible, and it didn't really do anything for him. But coming to know Jesus, read that same Bible again, and words are jumping out off the page at him. It was like it was totally living, and it is. God, your word is alive. Lord, we thank you for your word again this morning. I pray, God, for each and every single person here, even as Gail shared this morning, Lord, that we would have a way that we interact with your word, whether it's reading your word down by the beach, at the ocean, whether it's sitting at our dining room table with a coffee in the morning and looking at your word, whether it's driving to work and we have it plugged in to our stereo and listening to your word through the apps that are available online for our smartphones. Lord, we just thank you that we can take in the word in so many different ways. I just pray, Lord, for each and every single one of us that we would make a commitment this year to take in more of your word, because then we would be sustained and we would be filled, Lord, but we'd also become more and more solid in our foundation in you. And God, that's what we want to do this year as we go deeper in you, Lord, to develop deeper roots in you, to know you in a deeper way. And God, we want to be excited about that. And reading your word, we can get excited about that because there's so much in your word. There's so much adventure, action, stories, Lord, of your love for people. Lord, stories of your wrath, stories, God, of your justice, stories of the future, Lord, and there's so much there. And so, God, we just pray this morning, would you come and, Lord, would you speak into the lives of people this morning? God, would you have your way? We just thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen.